And hello, everybody, and welcome to RFB Radio with Kel Fritzy. How you all doing out there? Hope you had a nice weekend. It rained a lot here. That's okay, but kind of too late for the rain. My garden, no. It failed. It failed big time. I planted those beef-eater tomatoes, for example. They're still the size of cherry tomatoes, so... I think I might get some green peppers out of it, but the spring, it just came way too late, and the nights were really super cold, so fuck me! No more garden. I give up. It's too much work. I don't take care of it. Mr. Kel takes care of the garden. But enough of that. That's the excitement of my weekend, going out there and taking a look at my non-garden. Oh, it's kind of depressing. Anyway, I've got quite a bit of material I want to share with you today. And I have an audio clip here, and this is unbelievable. Justin Trudeau is really losing his mind. Everybody's a racist. That's right. Old stock Canadians are racist. So we're going to talk about that. What else do I have going on? Oh, yeah. I had this article I want to share with you. This is quite frightening. This is by Daniel Greenfield. And I also want to talk about these damned yappy celebrities. If they're not bitching us out about this alleged global warming, they're bitching us out about not taking in these migrants. And the latest altercation that took place, I believe it was over the weekend, in which Richard Gere self-appointed himself as an NGO. And boarded this migrant vessel and was demanding Italy let it port, you know. And Matteo Salvini's response was, I'll share that with you. A little teaser there for you. It's not going to be a long show, once again. I'm still not doing great at all, but... what can you do? Yeah, this article, though, this is rather frightening. When you read it to yourself, right? But it's even more frightening when you read it out loud. That's what I'm trying to say. This is from saltandkanish.blogspot.com, written by Daniel Greenfield. And this is pertaining to the United States. At 1%, Muslims are still a small percentage of the population. But there's one place in America where they are vastly overrepresented. And, oh, that is state prisons. That's right. State prisons. Where have we heard these stats before? Oh, yeah. The United Kingdom. Yeah. Overrepresented in our state prisons. And I say our as a collective because, you know, I hail from Canada. Now take Maryland. Holy. These are tiny little states geographically wise anyway. But take Maryland, which has an estimated 70,000 Muslims, right? That's making us like over 1% of the population. But of Maryland's 18,562 prisoners, 5,084 were Muslim. That's 24.4%, or over 1 in 4 in prison. That's frightening. And we know what they're up to in prison. And it also would mean that one out of 13 Muslims in Maryland may have been in a state prison. Golly. Now, people, I implore you. There are startling numbers, okay? Yet they come from Muslim advocates, and Islamist the legal advocacy group. Both MA's numbers and the number of Muslims in different states may be miscounted, yet these figures raise serious questions about public safety and the toll that immigration is taking on our communities. While Maryland's numbers are some of the worst, Maryland lists similar figures for, MA, the Muslim Advocate. A Muslim Advocate lists similar figures for Washington, D.C., where out of 5,219 prisoners, 1,232 were Muslim. Once again, that's one in four in prison. Huh. One in four Muslims in prison in Washington, D.C., and the state of Maryland. Yikes. Yeah, they're really catching up, all right, for all the wrong reasons. Washington, D.C. does have one of the largest Muslim populations in the country, numbering between 2% and 3%. So even taking, you know, the highest estimates, right, say 6.5% of the Muslim population in D.C. was in jail in 2017. Think about that. Even taking the highest estimate, that's 6.5% of the Muslim population in D.C. jails. Muslims make up 1% of the population in Pennsylvania, but one in five of its prisoners, you guessed it, are Muslim. One of the 48,438 prisoners in Pennsylvania, 10,264 were Muslims. That's 8% of an estimated statewide Muslim population of 128,000, meaning that one in 12 Muslims in Pennsylvania were in prison in 2017. How you liking those numbers, eh? Don't you love it when people throw stats and figures and shit at you? Yeah, it's a lot of fun, isn't it? Ah, well. The things you need to know. Let me see. Moving right down. In five states, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, Muslims make up one out of four or one out of five prisoners. Sweet fancies. What were those states again? New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. One out of five prisoners. And in four other states, take a look at Wisconsin, Missouri, Delaware, and Arkansas. They make up 1 in 10 prisoners. Oh, wow. That's a total of 9 states in which Muslims make up between a quarter and a tenth of state prisoners. The, what's this stupid group called? The Muslim Advocate. Okay. So the Muslim numbers, the MA numbers, are incomplete because of the Islamist group. It only includes information from 35 states, but they do not point to the scale of the problem of what Muslim advocates call over-representation. And here we go again, over-representation. Overrepresentation may be partially a product of the success of Islamic dawah or missionary activity in prisons. See, I told you earlier, we know what they're up to. Islamica prison Adawa has produced many converts and at least some Ateraplots. And it may serve to explain high Muslim prison numbers in some states, but not necessarily in others. Gee, I thought New York would be higher. That's interesting. Some of these states are, you know, quite a ways in the heartland of the United States. So, I don't know. Are they being transferred? I don't know. Well, yeah, like Delaware. Goodness sake, another fairly small state with a population of under a million and a Muslim population of 10,000. Nevertheless, of its 5,235 prisoners, 516 were Muslims. That's not only around 1 in 10 of the prison body, but also around 5% or 1 in 20 Muslims of the statewide Muslim population of the first state. When you think about it, the Muslim settler population is usually at around 1% of the country and its varying states, but in only two states, South Dakota and Idaho, was the Muslim prison population at 1% or below. That's it, only two states, South Dakota and Idaho. And the overall population, as the Muslim advocates noted in its partial numbers, was 84,882, or 8.9% of the prisons. The overall population, as MA noted in its partial numbers, was 84,882, or 89% of the prisoners. Let that soak in. Combine all those Muslim prisoners into a city, and you have a population larger than Youngstown. The MA report also claims that 12% of federal prisoners are Muslims. A Council on American-Islamic Relations, our favorite front group for Islamic terrorism, in the past has claimed that it's only 6%. Well, the current federal BOP population is 177,619. So that would mean over 21,000 prisoners, okay? And over 105,000 Muslims are prisoners in state and federal prison. Using a Pew's growth estimate, which projects that Muslim settler populations will reach 8.1 million by 2050. And that, people, is a severe underestimation of actual growth, by the way. That would mean a 250,000 Muslim prisoners. You know, this is just, it's not an abstract statistic. It's a compilation of human misery, lives lost, futures taken, a litany of abuse, loss, assault, and the accompanying taxpayer expenditures on trials, prisons, and free lawyers. The current cost of incarcerating Muslim federal prisoners is taking $670 million a year from taxpayers. By 2050, guys, that cost could climb to over $1.5 billion. Jeez. In some states, inmate incarceration costs are much higher than they are in the federal system. In New York, inmate incarceration costs run to $69,355 per inmate. There were 7,838 Muslim prisoners in New York in 2018. at a cost that approaches $550 million. And by 2050, New York would also be spending billions. Now, Maryland is already spending over $225 million on its Muslim prisoners. Michigan is spending an estimated $265 million. New Jersey is blowing through around $250 million on Muslim inmate costs. So what the hell is going on here, right? This is absolutely crazy. Are these like immigrants? Are these people of the Islamic persuasion who were born in the United States and joined gangs? I don't know. Just as a sidebar, we had two more shootings in Toronto. Toronto is far surpassing some of the grittiest inner cities in the West for shootings at this point. And we're noticing a shift in these shootings. If you go to the Toronto Police Service's wanted board, they have the pictures and the names of those that are wanted by the police. And well, you won't see a white person on this blotter. No, you won't. You'll see a lot of blacks and a lot of brown people. But what we're noticing in Toronto in particular is that the brown faces are beginning to match up with the black faces. And they have names that would indicate that they are not old stock Canadians. So that's something, if you're in the Toronto area, that's something to keep an eye on. Okay, back to article. Texas spends $191 million on its Muslim inmates. Wisconsin is on the hook for $113 million a year. North Carolina taxpayers face a $160 million Muslim inmate bill. Missouri taxpayers shell out some $70 million. In Illinois, it's up to $180 million. In Florida, it's also blowing through $93 million. Georgia spends almost $30 million. And Connecticut is forced to spend over $100 million. And Ohio spends $90 million for Muslim inmates. That's right, taxpayers. How do you like them beans? I don't know where the Hispanics fit in these figures. However, how do you like paying for a Muslim to sit in, well, what's fast becoming? All of these prisons are fast becoming like club feds. The federal prisons are unbelievable. They do have restrictions in the federal prisons, like privileges and things like that, but they just hang out in prison and they mingle and they have their meals together unless they're in isolation. But that's a lot of coin. And blowing through indeed. You're allotted X number of dollars for X number of services. What's going to happen? Yeah, like in 2050 when the million turns into billion. Where are you going to get the money? Well, if you're anything like Justin Trudeau here in Canada, you just raise taxes or print more money. Yeah, inflating our dollar. Even tiny Delaware is stuck spending $20 million on its Muslim inmate population. Our Pennsylvania taxpayers have the worst of it and are spending $438 million on Muslim prisoners. These numbers, however, are based on average inmate costs. Muslim inmates' costs may be higher due to their special needs and special circumstances. That's right. They need their little Korans. I don't know if it's anything like Guantanamo Bay where their Korans rest in a tiny little hammock. They need the Korans. They need their prayer mats. They need to be praying towards Mecca. They need their halal diet. Yeah, so, yeah, the Muslims are a little more expensive than your average prisoner. And you'll love this. Nido Hassan. We all remember that name. I wish we didn't, but we do. He was the Fort Hood jihadist who murdered 13 Americans, actually 14. One was pregnant, don't forget. Guess how much this is costing the taxpayer a year for this fucktard? $548,000 in costs. That's right. Another reason, never, ever let a Muslim either run for federal office or join the military. But even these extremely incomplete numbers suggest that the federal costs, plus the costs in 15 states, that approaches $3.5 billion. Now, assuming average state cost across the total population would mean a $2.8 billion cost to the states, although this is an extremely inaccurate means of calculating these figures. But it does mean that by 2050, the nationwide bill for Muslim incarceration would approach $10 billion. $10 billion. Estimating the projected increase of Muslim prisoners, the population, it can be tricky. But the rise in Muslim crime documented by the Muslim Advocates report still appears to be disturbing. Let's go to some other states. In Colorado, the Muslim share of prisoners doubled between 2010 and 2018. In Colorado. Yeah. The Muslim share of prisoners really doubled that much in such a short period of time? In, well, doesn't have a figure here. It's unbelievable. I guess that's all we need. All we need to know is that the prison population doubled in Colorado between 2010 and 2018. Huh. In Utah, the number of Muslim prisoners doubled. And in Georgia, they tripled between 2011 and 2018. In Michigan, the number of Muslim inmates rose by almost 1,000, even as the general population fell by 4,000. In Missouri, the number of Muslim prisoners increased by over 800,000. My apologies. I need new glasses. Let me start that again. In Missouri, the number of Muslim prisoners increased by over 800 even as the general population only rose by 600 in Missouri. D.C., Indiana, and Minnesota saw share increases up between a quarter and a third. In Kansas, the Muslim prisoner share rose by a fifth. Texas added over 1,500 Muslim inmates, even as its overall number of prisoners fell by 10,000. These are worrying numbers, people. This in an era where crime numbers and arrests have been declining, and they forecast the future of states which have consented to refugee resettlement without calculating the harm and the expense the migration will inflict on their people, their children, and their future. In British prisons, the proportion of Muslim prisoners rose from 8% in 2002 to 16% in 2018. As a report to the British Parliament noted, aside from Muslims, no other religion had a higher proportion of representation in prisons than among the general population. We have begun seeing similar numbers in the United States. As the debate over immigration continues, we must ask ourselves difficult questions about the price we are willing to pay to welcome in one particular group without caring about the cost to ourselves. How many thousands of lives? How many billions of dollars are we willing to pay? And diversity, is it really worth the price? And that article is from Daniel Greenfield, dated today. And they do get treated well. They have prisons within prisons in the United Kingdom. I've talked about that in the past. Remember when HMA Chowdhury, our favorite imam from the United Kingdom, when he was finally incarcerated? They had to build a prison within a prison just for him because they had to keep him away from the other inmates. Because that guy knows how to prophesize. And this article briefly touched upon that. The conversion rate his last name is Dart. Can't remember his first name, but you guys have seen thousands of photos of him. He's the fat redhead in the United Kingdom. I think the most infamous photo of him is plastering those you are entering a no-go zone. Yeah. That fat pig. He is a convert. And I don't know if you noticed this, but I think that the converts can sometimes be worse than those that were born into this ideology. What was it, Jihadi Jack, who allegedly beheaded those two British, I believe they were journalists? Yeah, he is the one with dual citizenship, Jack Lett. Yeah, he has both a UK and Canadian citizenship. Yeah, that one. And he might be coming to Canada because the UK pretty much already shredded his passport and said, nope, we're not taking him. At least the UK, they're kind of cracking down on that. If you have dual citizenship, you're not coming back. If you've committed jihad elsewhere. That story about that woman who was preggers. She was pregnant. I think it was her second or third husband was killed. And she wanted to come back to the United Kingdom with two other kids in tow. United Kingdom government said no. I think that's still ongoing, though. Anyway. Well, my piece of advice, people. Don't let your babies grow up to be prisoners. Goodness me. Just looking at some of my alerts here. I don't have any at this point. And I want to say hi to the folks in the chat room. Hi, Bigfoot. Gary, Leocoon, Purple Pill, Chief, and Tim Tap. Hi, guys. And hello to John Doe, who is keeping me company in the studio. So those are pretty serious figures, people. And boy, you better wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. All these crimes happening in Toronto, I was alluding to earlier. The police blotter out of Toronto. The names are becoming harder and harder to pronounce. And it's not because they're a Chinese name. Yeah. I'm going to talk about Canada. And Purple Pill left. Oh, Leah Kuhn, thank you. I read your comment. Oh, Leah Kuhn, yeah. Every Sunday night I go to Cross Canada News on YouTube, and I had a little bit of a tech meltdown. Yeah, I was very late for the show, and when it came up in archive, I listened to it. He's got the nicest chat room, eh, Leyukun? Yeah, he really does. So I text Fred and I explained, oh no. It's not like Fred needs an explanation from little old me, but I've been going to Fred's Across Canada News show ever since he started it, like over a year ago. This is the first time I've ever missed one of his shows. I just said that was a really good show and this and that, the other thing. Sorry I missed it. That being live. And he said, you were missed. That's always nice to hear. You were missed. Yeah. Where else am I going now? Oh, don't hit that big red button. I nearly hit the big red button. Well, we'll just let this article sink in. If you want to take a look at it yourselves, it's easy to find. Unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio no longer allows us to post full links. Maybe I can post a partial link. Let me see. It's from... Just copy. It's from Sultan Kanish. www.blogspot.com. So I'll see if I can get a partial link in there. That okay, this ought to be enough to get you there. If you guys want to save it or share it out elsewhere. But I thought it was an interesting study in Islam and the prison populations. Like, wow, that's scary stuff. I want to move on to Canada now. And this is becoming increasingly disturbing. Like, it's really getting out of hand up here with the racism. The United States, holy shiz. You guys are getting battered left, right, and center with this white nationalism and supremacism and all that stuff. You guys are getting slammed really hard. Same thing is happening up here in Canada. And the Liberal Party of Canada, they're not even hiding it anymore. I alluded to the Minister of Immigration, Ahmad Hussein, and he was on the stump, as it were, campaigning. On our dime still, by the way, because Justin Trudeau hasn't dropped the writ yet. And him informing his people, fellow Somalis, that watch out for the conservatives. They dance with white supremacists, bullshit like that. Yeah, real pieces of art we have in Canada here. Justin Trudeau is the absolute worst. I'm going to play this clip for you, though. Pay close attention to Justin Trudeau is at a town hall meeting, right? It couldn't have been too long ago because Forgotten Canadians had it up over the weekend. So this might have been a fresh town hall that I missed. I really wasn't paying attention to the news all weekend. Spent more time in bed than I did anywhere else. But anyway, He's getting more bold. Like I say, he's not even hiding the fact that he thinks old stock Canadians are white nationalists and supremacists. He's not even hiding the fact. So he was at this town hall, and there was a gentleman in the audience, and he was talking about, you know, the influx of the migration into Canada, and what's Justin Trudeau going to do about Roxham Road? Is he going to shut it down if he's reelected? And this guy was, he should have taken notes. I wish this guy had written down notes before he addressed the Prime Minister, because he had some really good points, but he really couldn't quite spit them out. And I think he missed completely being called a racist, but you guys will catch it. Anyway, Justin Trudeau and racism.
And you
sleep
by the
if you sleep
law.
With a 9-year-old in this country, you're called a pedophile.
Okay, but you know what? A 9-year-old is considered an adult. Which is stupid.
Glorious and free.
Watching what's going on the world stage, I'm looking at the fact that Germany, France, and a bunch of other European countries that stood up on the same side of the fence when tyranny was coming down on us. We've got an open border allowing this stuff to come in freely. And what are we doing about that thing in particular, an open border? what are we doing about it? Okay. You're talking about my freedom and everybody's lives who gave here, everybody who put their life down on the line, and you're saying, it's okay, it won't happen to us. It's happening in France and it's happening all over.
Sorry, sir, what's happening?
The people are saying no, because these two cultures will not mix.
Which two cultures are those, sir?
Islam and Christianity.
No, sorry, okay, hang on. Democracy only works in a country like Canada if people are free to express their fears, their concerns, their opinions, and we get an opportunity to respond to them.
The Prime Minister is making no apologies for branding a heckler at a recent rally a racist.
So I'm going to ask you all to be respectful of the racist speaker's question. And thank you for sharing your racist concerns, sir.
I've got one other thing I want to say about it.
Okay.
Is that they've openly stated that they want to kill us.
يدعون بأن يهلك الله اليهود ومن هاودهم والنصارى ومن ناصرهم وأن لا
Okay.
And you're letting them in.
Okay.
As of now, we know that about 60 plus ISIS terrorists have returned to Canada. Another 190 Canadians are someplace in the world, mostly Iraq and Syria, fighting with terrorist organizations, including ISIS.
Sir, how am I going to go on this one? Canada is a country that was built by immigration. Waves of people came to this country, were welcomed by the folks who had lived here for millennia.
Russians, Poles, Estonians, Icelanders, and Ukrainians, the biggest single group, came in large numbers, as well as groups with a common religious identity. With a common religious identity, such as the Mennonites and Hutterites from Europe and the Mormons from the United States.
Now, Canada remains one of the only countries in the world where citizens are, by and large, positively inclined towards immigration. And one of the reasons we are that way is because Canadians have confidence in our immigration system.
Two-thirds of Canadians on multiple polls agree that we should be screening immigrants for Canadian values, that we should be having face-to-face interviews for people coming into the country. And so I don't think that two-thirds of Canadians are racist.
We have a system that over the past decades has done a very good job of not just having people come to Canada, but setting them up for success.
Canadian taxpayers would be absolutely bothered by the amount of benefits being given to Syrian migrants. And now we know that yearly amount in cash benefits is $50,000. $50,000 per family. It's unbelievable.
Helping with integration, helping them thrive in our communities.
But was there any consultation about integration, assimilation, education? There's a different culture, there's a different ethos, a different landscape, a different geographical setting, a different understanding of gender, a different understanding of what it means to have free thought. All of this, there's nothing in common between those Syrian refugees and Canadians except our humanity.
Helping them contribute to growing this country. And we are a country that you can look around any room and see the diversity that has made us strong.
How shocking is it for a community to be faced with this patriarchy, to be faced with this difference in cultures where the new arrivals, the visitors, the immigrants are not willing to change their thinking, or they're not willing to adapt and integrate into the new culture?
Now, the question came up a lot in the last election around Syrian refugees. You will remember that we made a commitment in the 2015 election that Canada would accept 40,000 Syrian refugees.
So I blame the Canadian government for their lack of insight. and for their lack of long-term vision by not putting in the education piece, and also because it makes it worse when there's no open debate and discussion, when press is muzzled, when people don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because if they talked about it, we could perhaps solve the problem.
Racist.
Oh, Canada, we stand on God.
Yeah, oh Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love. Well, a lot of Canadians aren't feeling that way right now. When I go into the chat forums, especially across Canada News, and people are like, you know, I get so frustrated with this guy. And before I go into a bit of a ramble here, that woman that was speaking at the very end, her name is Rahil Raza. She's one of the founders of Muslims Facing Tomorrow. She's one of those that wants to see Islamic reform. She's a critic of Islamism and Sharia law. She wants to put the brakes on Islamic immigration into Canada. I say good luck to her. She's a Muslim. I don't know if she practices. But anyway, according to Trudeau, she's a racist. Like, see, when you speak out about Islam, you're a racist. And this is why I was a little disappointed in that gentleman in that audio clip, that I think he missed it completely, because it would have been a completely different exchange of words, I think. Because how dare Trudeau accuse his very own people and the people he works for. See, that's something else. Justin Trudeau keeps forgetting that he works for us. But nope, he considers himself Lord and Master, and we're less than a month away. Well, it's August, my apologies. We're less than 2.5 months away to our general election. Justin Trudeau still hasn't dropped the writ. So he's flying all over the bloody country on our dime. Yeah, he's going to all these town halls, and he is going all crisscrossing. He's been to British Columbia, I think, 5 times. That's a long ways from Ottawa, Ontario. He's going to the Northern Territories. I think he was in Iqaluit. I don't know where, that's a city. Can't remember which territory. Could be the Northwest. Anyway, he's flying all over the place on our dime, and he's campaigning. And this is something I wish Elections Canada would look into. But, of course, they're not. Let me see. His minions are a little bit out of control, too. Let me see. Chrystia Freeland. She is the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Canada. And she's calling critics white supremacists. There was a Rebel Media audio here. I was going to download it, but I didn't have time. But, yeah, Chrystia Freeland just loves throwing around the word racist. And, like, so far they haven't said Nazi. But give it time. 2.5 months to go. Chrystia Freeland, her maternal grandfather was a Nazi. And she was asked point blank, are you going to forgive your grandfather for his activities with the Nazi party? And she's like, oh, gotta go. Oop, I just got here. Here's my card. Give me a call. Let's talk. They're all like that. I got something else up here, too. What's this? This is a fairly new. Oh, what is this? This is from Rebel Media again. And what are they saying here? What's going on with this? Let me see. Trudeau strips conservative name from BC building to apologize for 1914 incident. What is this incident?
From this building? Now, Harry Stevens was a conservative.
Harry Stevens.
Conservative, first elected in 1911. And he gets the blame for turning away the Kamagata Maru ship and its passengers of almost 400.
Oh, the Katadema Maru ship. Yeah, that ship was full of Sikhs, right.
Already an apology issued for this chapter in Canadian
and
history
he stripped
by
this,
the Prime Minister.
And he stripped this name. They stripped this conservative name from a building in British Columbia, really. And he's going to make a formal apology to a bunch of Sikhs. Great. Maybe I'll have more on this as we go on. But, you know, I swear, Trudeau's apology palooza, they're getting insane. He's saying sorry for things done by others in Canada of a very long time ago, things like that. He's also rebranding federal buildings that don't have politically correct names. Let me see, where is it? I think it is in Brampton, Ontario. There are a lot of Islamic street names now, things like that. It's just craziness. Anyway. Just thought I'd bring that up to and bring it to your attention. There you go. I think that's all I had on this topic too. Oh, wait a minute. Oh God, no. Oh my God. You guys won't believe this. Oh, shinola. Racism, liberal MP. Insinuates Indigenous women cannot represent rural areas. Yeah, his name is Mark Miller, who is also the Parliamentary Secretary for Crown Indigenous Relations, apparently thinks that, Indigenous women can't represent rural areas. Now, there seems to be a point that he was trying to make in a tweet that totally backfired. Let me see, what was the tweet? Oh, he was slamming the Conservative Party of Canada. In this episode of Andrew Scheer's Conservative Party purchasing a stock photo. Yeah, like you liberals don't do that all the time. We see them using an Indigenous woman to represent rural areas. You can't make this stuff up. Every party uses stock photos, first of all. It's common practice. So why is Miller focusing on this one? And what's his particular problem with this photo? Well, it sure seems that he believes an Indigenous woman is somehow unable to represent rural areas. And that leads to the question of who he thinks should be in the photo instead of this Indigenous woman. And, of course, we know the answer to that. If a conservative had tweeted this, the entire establishment media would be ripping into them as racist. Here we are again, right? So why is Miller not being called racist? Because the biased, corrupted establishment media always gives the liberals a free pass for this kind of bullshit. Miller's tweet, it is appalling and shows the true attitude behind the scenes in the Liberal government. We saw some of that attitude in how Justin Trudeau treated Jody Wilson-Raybould, using her for political benefit and then throwing her under the bus when she refused to do the bidding of the elites. And Jody Wilson-Raybould is an Indigenous woman, and she refused to play along in covering up SNC-Lavalin, greasy palms going on, contracts being granted to SNC-Lavalin because, you know, well, they're friendly to the Liberals. But it's much worse. There's a lot to it, so you'll have to look that up. Unbelievable, though. Okay. So we have old stock Canadians are racist. New stock Canadians are racist too. Imagine that. That's right. A Salem Monsieur, who is standing as a candidate for the People's Party of Canada, the leader is Maxime Bernier. Well, he's a racist according to the Conservatives. That's right. Andrew Scheer kicked him out of the nomination, one as a potential for nomination, right? Because Salem Monsieur is another critic of Islam. He is a professor at the University of Western Ontario. Highly critical of Islam, Islamism, Sharia law. The same with Rahil Raza. Kicked, boom, right out of the party. As being able to stand as a candidate to represent the party come this October. But that's okay. People's Party of Canada, we got them. Yay. So that's the Conservatives. So we're all racist. It doesn't seem to matter what party it is. And Jagmeet Singh of the New Democratic Party, he's the same way. You know? He goes to events and he gets hecklers and, yep, he's quite fast and loose with the word racism. Yeah, it's once again, rules for me but not for thee. Disgusting. God. I'm going to take a break, a very quick one. Because I am at the top of the hour, and I'm going to be closing it out pretty soon. But this is from Jay Black. I like this. This is Trudeau, the ineloquent orator.
You're going to take a free holiday from someone you consider a friend, but obviously you have a different definition of a friend than the commissioner. You knew that they had a lobbying registry, that they were set up to lobby the government. How could it not have occurred to you that that might not have been okay?
The fact is, we work reorder the thoughts. We worked with the lobby Conflict of Interest Commissioner.
I hope that we could come here and reason together.
Which is focused on five main themes, skills development and immigration, infrastructure, innovation, climate change and clean growth, and finally, I did them out of order, so now I'm skipping on the last one, which is...
He's weak, he's incompetent, he jeopardizes the whole place.
We need to ensure that we are working together with our allies to find a path forward there, because a nuclear power like North Korea that has shown a level of irresponsibility and fundamental irresponsibility, to not use a word like crazy, which I will not use, is of real concern.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
I look forward to meeting with the Conservative leader, Ron Ambrose, looking for a title there. She's not a minister anymore. I'm looking forward to meeting with Ms. Ambrose and discussing this and
Ah, forget it. This is fucking ridiculous.
We import more steel than the Americans We have a significant trade surplus. The Americans have a significant trade surplus with us on steel.
You know you're a fucking mumbling, stuttering little fuck. You know that?
And I thought I was going to make it through this, but I'm not.
What a bumbling fool. Seriously. That is our leader of Canada right there. Before I move into the final topic, I do have somebody I would like to bring on, and that is Gary Comfort from Alberta. And hey, Gary, how are you doing today? What's on your mind?
Well, about the same as yours, Kel.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you fine. You're a little quiet, but I can hear you.
Well, that's good. I thought perhaps I had a connection problem once again. But, all I worry about, Kel, is your health. And how are you doing?
Oh, well, it's one thing after the other. It's going to be a long recovery.
I hope you're going to improve over time. I really do. And I don't think you get thanked enough for what you do. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Gary. That's very kind of you. So how do you feel about being a racist, especially being a Calgarian?
I'm killing it, Kel. I love it. I embrace it.
Well, I'm just, naturally white, and I expect it. I haven't been told to go back home yet by anybody when I walk out the door, but I'll give that a matter of time.
You're not trying hard enough, Kel. You got to try harder.
I suppose I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been told to go back home many times over. I confront people on the street, as you know, right? You know, I just go out there and I say my piece, and I got a lot of haters.
Yeah, you know, it's happening all the time with all of us. I don't know if people are familiar with a YouTube host. His handle is The Sanity for Sweden. And he was talking about not being invited to a funeral. And that would be his father-in-law's funeral, in fact. And it was explained to him that his presence might be a little disruptive because of his counter-jihad involvement. So he can't even go to his own father-in-law's funeral. His girlfriend or his wife was very upset by that and insisted that he attend. And he said, no, don't worry. I don't want to upset them. I expected this.
So,
but,
yeah, so he must have been a white racist bigot, Islamophobe, just like me.
Exactly, yep. That's what he is, all right, just like me. And probably the people in the chat room.
Well, I tell you what, I just wear it as a badge because I know I've gotten under the skins of these people. I've found these people. I know who they are. And I also know who the good guys are. And that's you and many people in this chat room, many people on Discord. I keep saying Discord. I know it's a tough thing. But you know what? The people on Discord are amazing. Who's the EDL? Jeff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know Jeff. Yeah, yeah. He's on Aribo's Discord, and he's loving it. He's just loving the message. He's loving the people, just like we love all the people here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of avenues on the Internet that you can visit to get your word out. Let me see.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, Discord seems to be one of the better ones.
Well, the one thing that I like about Discord, Kel, is if people like yourself that have radio stations that are trying to get the word out, and you do a very good job right where you are. And I'm not saying leave the station, stay there, and also broadcast on Discord. And I'll tell you this, on Discord, there's a lot more information, a lot more ability for people to share information on Discord while you're talking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or Spreaker. But I tried Spreaker and it didn't work for me. But anyway, we're going off on a tangent here about other media outlets that we can visit. I am very concerned, though, about what's happening in Canada, though, with Justin Trudeau. There's a lot of people speculating that he's probably going to win again, but it will be with a Liberal minority.
Yeah, well, whether he wins or not, it doesn't matter, Kel. They're all corrupt. The government itself is corrupt, and it needs an overhaul, full stop. And, you know, whether Scheers gets in, NDP, Green Party, or the Liberal Party, it doesn't matter. It simply doesn't matter. I like the PPC party for one reason. One, I resonate with the platform. I read the platform, and I read all the other platforms. And I got to tell you, they're night and day, and I resonate with the PPC. Now, with the PPC, I think if you vote for PPC in Canada, you shake up the political world in Canada. And in the meantime, there's forces looking to separate.
Oh, well, yeah, and don't pay attention to polls or anything like that. Remember President Trump when he was sitting at 1% and Hillary was sitting at something like 95% or something ridiculous like that? Well, lo and behold, guess who is the president of the United States? It ain't Hillary.
Yeah, those polls. The polls in Canada, what do they poll, 1,000 people? How's that represent the Canadians? It does not. I can come up with 1,000 friends myself.
Well, yeah, everybody I talk to is totally into a People's Party of Canada at the helmship of Maxime Bernier. It'll be interesting to see if he'll be able to participate in the debates that are coming up. I'm certainly not going to watch the Monk debate, but I'm getting into hardcore Canadian politics. Don't want to do that because I have a lot of American listeners and listeners out of the United Kingdom. But I think Maxime Bernier is going to do just fine. I think he'll garner more seats than will even you and I can anticipate. That's just my feeling. I hope so anyway. And any little bit helps for support. Yeah.
And I got
but Gary, I want to thank you for calling in. I'm going to wrap
right,
it up
Kel.
In a few moments. My clock is ticking down.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah,
and
no
there
problem,
you
Kel.
Go.
Take care.
You too. That's Gary Comfort. He's in the chat room as well. So thank you, Gary. Yeah, I just want to quickly wrap this up because I have to go have a lie down. I know, this is embarrassing. But when are these freaking celebrities going to shut the hell up? I'm getting really sick and tired of the Richard Gere types now. Where was he? Yeah. He's insane. Let me see. He was on an NGO boat, right, to appeal to the European Union leaders to find port for marooned ships, this one ship in particular. This ship had, or has, 160 rescued migrants, and they've been barred entry into Italy. Now, Italy's Deputy Prime Minister, Matteo Salvini, suggested Richard Gere fly 160 migrants stranded off the Italian coast back to Hollywood on his private jet after the actor made a plea to European leaders to find a port for the ship. Oh, flip off, Gere. Who are you? You're an entertainer. I only have one picture slide up there today. I didn't get the four more I usually have. But it's of Gene Simmons, and he's saying, you know, I wish people would just do their jobs as entertainers. And Gene Simmons is right. Like, who the hell does this guy think he is? Because he has name recognition? Like, what is it with all of these celebrities jumping on board, jumping on the migrant bandwagon now? And look at their contempt for President Trump and wanting to control the southern border. Oh, who else has been going at it? Let me see. Mia Farrow is a nightmare on Twitter, with her total disdain for the president. Bette Midler is now dabbling into her political musings and making them public, and I really don't care. A couple of dried-up old hags, made a couple of good movies. And, of course, Barbara Streisand never shuts up. But who's this latest guy? Oh, my God. This guy's a damn fool. Tommy Lee, okay. He was the drummer of the now defunct Motley Crue? Yeah, he was the drummer. He was the drummer. Well, now he's taking aim at President Trump, and I'm sure maybe some of you had seen this, but he copied and pasted a very long screed about what, you know, we're going to do to President Trump in the United States once we get rid of him. I got an excerpt here. You Trumpsters better pray that liberals never gain control of the White House again, because we are going to pay you back so effing hard for all this shit. Planned Parenthoods on every damn corner. We're going to repaint Air Force One, one pussy hat pink, and fly it over your beloved Bible Belt 6 days a week, tossing birth control pills, condoms, and atheist literature from the cockpit. Now, the thing is, too, he didn't even write this screed. He lifted it from a Reddit post from a year ago. And he didn't give the original author any credit for it. He just lifted it and passed it off as his own. He's quite a loser. And then we have Lance Armstrong. You know, he is the disgraced cyclist. He won God knows how many Tour de France. Anyway, he got on Twitter and he decided that it would be fun to share with my fans what I did today. Went out for a bike ride, saw Vice President Pence, kicked his ass, flew by him. My day is done. Well, he was just totally humiliated with that one. See, conservatives are standing up, and we're not taking this anymore. We're sickened by it. We're sick and tired of this, okay? And we're sick and tired of seeing our respective countries fall into such a state of chaos, which it is. In Canada, Antifa is still a peaceful little organization that just wants peace on Earth. In Canada, yeah. Yellow Vesters are far right, yeah. If you go to Forgotten Canadians and just scroll down his video list, watch some of his videos regarding the Yellow Vests. They're not doing a damn thing. They've taken to bridges now. They used to go right downtown Toronto to Nathan Phillips Square, but they can't do that anymore because the freaking Antifa just totally swarmed them. So there they are on the bridges, and they're waving their flags, and Trudeau must go. I mean, they're very peaceful, but they're the far-right extremists. They're the violent ones. Watch out. You know, I don't want my anthem to be changed. I really don't. But I swear, if this keeps up in the West and in Canada, this is going to be our new anthem. Oh, Canada was once our native land. No patriots left, just Muslims who command. With bleeding hearts, we see no doubt the true white North turned brown. Oh, Canada, now you're falling down. Oh, Canada, our once thought manly land. True liberal love for Muslims from the stands. With bloodshot eyes, we see the rise of tundra turned to sand. From far and wide, we see the rise, the raping of our land. God keep our land totally home free. Protect us from harm to our sovereignty. And then, of course, oh, Canada, we need a miracle. That's what's going to happen. And that first, the segment by Daniel Greenfield about Muslims in American prisons. Holy smokes. But that's it. I am out of racetrack. I want to thank you all once again for joining me. I will see you hopefully on Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. I am always here Mondays and Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget to check me out on Global Patriot Radio, courtesy of Blog Talk Radio. I am IAW at Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. So, you guys have a wonderful rest of your afternoon or evening or morning or wherever you are. And be vigilant. And don't take it anymore. Don't take it. Be brave. Go brave. Thank you.